Paul's letter to the Romans describes in great detail in the beginning the good news of Jesus Christ, God's awesome victory over sin and death. So chapter 12, verse 1, starts with therefore. And as somebody once told me, when there's a therefore, you got to see what it's there for. And that's what we've been doing with reading all that we have up to now and studying all of this. Most of the rest of this letter tells us what to do and how to live because of the gospel. It's the therefore. We've had the gospel spelled out. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, this is how you live. And until Easter, we'll be unpacking these instructions for life in Christ. For some of you, this might be a welcome shift from theory into action. And so here we are. We've taken our time to dig into the gospel and the good news. Now it's time to get active in our faith. We're going to look just today, just three sentences at the beginning here. We're going to focus on the verbs here, the action words, the commands that we have. We're going to see what God wants us to do in response to his love. So it begins, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I beg of you. Listen up, Paul says, this is important. Because of God's mercy that I've described to you, because of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Instead of offering a gift to God, you are the gift. Offer yourself. And it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I think in part this is because when we offer our bodies, it's harder for us to over-spiritualize this. We can't just offer our spirit and soul to God somehow and maintain complete control over our earthly and ordinary lives. So we offer all of ourselves to the God of mercy. We sacrifice ourselves on his altar. I'm going to be sharing with us Eugene Peterson's The Message translation of these few verses, which I think are really helpful. He puts it, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. True worship is not so much what we can do for God or give to God. Worship that pleases God is seeing God's mercy and responding by surrendering everything to him. Our whole lives, our whole personalities, everything we have, everything we are. All of our plans, all of our love and affection. In light of Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, total surrender is the only response that makes sense, that fits what he has done for us. So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He continues, do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is what Hermy and Wormy were kind of doing. They were comparing themselves to the other creatures, and they found themselves lacking in comparison. They wanted to be strong like the ant and beautiful like the ladybug. And they wanted a nice house that the snail had, and they didn't have one. But of course, God had something better in store for them, something that was just right for them. It is very tempting for us all the time to compare ourselves to others and to try to fit in. But because of what God has done for us in Christ, we are not to be shaped by the world and by those values and the things around us. We are to be formed by God's grace and mercy. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul Ochtemeyer translated it this way: do not let yourselves be shaped by what everyone else does, but rather let yourselves be transformed by a whole new way of thinking. A whole new way of thinking that is shaped by grace. Notice that be transformed is a passive command. We can't transform ourselves any more than a caterpillar can force the process of becoming a butterfly to happen any sooner. We can't transform ourselves. We can offer ourselves, place ourselves on the altar, and let God transform us. And this transformation is no small thing. I think the butterfly is a great example from creation, because the caterpillar is the same little creature as the butterfly. But if you didn't know about metamorphosis, you would not think that that was the same little guy. He's so different. The beautiful wings, it can fly now, and all it could do was kind of inch along before. It's so different, and yet it is still the same creature, transformed. And the butterfly can't go back to being a caterpillar if for some reason it wanted to. That transformation is complete, that change is complete. The other way of life is in the past. So for us in our spiritual lives, the command is to be transformed, to allow God to transform us. I want to hear this part in the message again, Eugene Peterson's The Message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So don't conform, be transformed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Test and approve or discern. Be able to know what God wants. And this isn't a sort of anxiously praying over every single tiny decision in our lives. But this is more of a having surrendered our whole lives to God, avoiding unthinking conformity, allowing ourselves to be transformed by God, we are ready to do what God wants us to do. We're ready to obey, to follow, and to act with God. That's the goal. That's the logical response to God's mercy. Worship that pleases God leads to obedience. True worship prepares us to do God's will, to act on it. From The Message, it says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Readily recognize and quickly respond to what he wants from you. There's just one little problem, according to evangelist Dwight Moody. The problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. Living sacrifices have a hard time staying still and staying in place. I know this very well. I have reflected on this a lot. For me, I have found certain signs that I may have crawled off the altar. And for me, it includes a resentful attitude, a lack of a desire to even talk to God about it, and just kind of a general striving and anxiety-driven way of being and functioning. These clues and others may indicate that I am trying to control everything and that I need to once again offer my whole self back to God. And the grumpy attitude probably won't evaporate immediately, but the process begins, that letting go, letting God be God in my life. And no wonder we crawl off the altar. It feels vulnerable and frightening. We know what happens with the traditional animal sacrifices, right? Hint, it involves like fire, like a barbecue type situation. It's not fun for the sacrifice. We know what happened to Jesus on the cross, and he did not promise his followers that we would be spared that kind of suffering. In fact, he promised that we would if we followed him. But God's mercy in Christ, his great love for us, that gives us the courage to place ourselves completely in God's care. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That promise gives us the security and the confidence that we need to surrender ourselves and our future completely to God and step out into the unknown and follow him. So if you look at these few verses and say, why am I not transformed? If you feel frustrated with the parts of your life that you wish were more like Jesus than they are, if you can relate to Hermie and Wormy for just like, why am I so common? It could be that you need to get on the altar. Giving ourselves and our wills over to God is always a good prayer, whether we're praying it for the first time or daily, because every day is not too often to re-surrender ourselves to God and God's ways. But that's not the only reason we may not be as transformed as we would like. We also need to remember that God is in charge of the transformation process, and maturity takes time. As Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. God is not finished with us yet. He's still working. He's still good. There's still hope. Let's pray. God of mercy and love, we offer ourselves to you. Jesus has demonstrated his great love for us on the cross. We now surrender to your will and your ways, asking that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you would transform us day by day to be the people you have created us to be the best versions of ourselves. Help us to stop comparing ourselves to others and trying to fit in. Instead, shape us by your grace and love. Amen.